T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, if you can't be happy on a Friday, not sure what day you can muster. Hope you're off to a good start with your weekend. Glad that you're spending some of it with us right here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, yours truly, Jad Chambers producing. All right, let's finish up our conversation with the Royals. I ask you now, Jacob, 61 games into the season, 30-31, 7.5 games back of the White Sox, who I don't think they're in the league of, but that remains to be seen. I think they are in the same league with the Cleveland Indians, which they are just 3 games back. So there's still plenty to play for the Kansas City Royals. And I think some would say that, if everything falls right and they can get hot at 1 or 2 times during the season, that this could be a wild card team. But my question to you now is, we just go down the roster and we'll use last night as our guiding light on this. Are these players part of the reopening of the playoff window for the Kansas City Royals? Whit Merrifield, yay or nay?
Yay.
Correct. Carlos Santana?
I'll say yay, because I think they can get, if he comes back next year, I think he's handy. I'm fine with it. Not. You know, that window, speaking of like this year and next year.
Well, it depends on when we think that window opens.
I think it's cracked open.
You think
right
it's
now.
Here. You think they're
yeah,
in.
Yeah, okay, but they're 4.5 game back of the wild card right now. And
now you're
and
right. Yeah.
I think it's unreasonable to think the offense can't get better.
Andrew Benintendi would certainly be a piece. Yeah, he's arguably their best hitter. And how good does that deal look right now? Now we're sitting here on June 11th, but 288, hitting for a little power, got one last night. Salvador Perez is a no-brainer. He's still only 31 years old. He's got good baseball left in him.
Salvador Perez, when we look back at his career someday, I think we'll put him right there with George Brett as far as place in Royals history. An impact on the community and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, I need to digest that one, because I'm not sure Salvador Perez ends up in the Hall of Fame, but I hear you. If we're talking about relative to what he meant to Kansas City and the Royals, and he provided a World Series championship.
Bruce, if Salvador Perez doesn't end up in the Hall of Fame, And you brought this up, and I've never really thought about it because I've never thought about him this way. If he doesn't end up in the Hall of Fame, who does?
Okay. Interesting.
Like, do we just never take a catcher again because a catcher's never going to hit 300 home runs? Although Perez very certainly could hit 300 home runs. I'm just saying,
like,
if he's not the guy, when you speak of longevity and relevance and everything else, who else is who is going in? Yadier Molina will go in probably, but
right?
Like who?
Well, yeah.
Who's it going to be? Because he's great defensively, he's as good as there is in the game offensively, year in year out. That's my problem with the Hall, is trying to compare guys from different eras.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's a
discussion for a different day.
It is a discussion for another. You've made me think now, which is always a good thing, and I don't do it enough. Interesting. hadn't thought of it in quite those terms. That's pretty exalted when you start comparing someone to the legacy and the and what he meant to a franchise like George Brett. That's some pretty rare air. Pretty rare air. All right, here's probably the biggest. Here's the elephant in the room. Jorge Soler.
I'm going to say no.
You know something? I want to get on board with Jorge Soler. You know, the 40-plus bombs, I get it. But, man, and this is realizing that he had a big home run last night and drove in a couple. But he's hitting .179. He's a DH.
Yeah.
And you got to get more from your DH than what Jorge Soler provided.
If there was a place they could put him in the outfield and move him down in the lineup and let him be your seven-hole hitter that's mm-hmm. a good, let's say it's right fielder, who can, you know, hover just above 200 but get you 40 bombs, I would take that. But I'm not going to take a DH hitting .179 who, yes, he has some power, but he just gives you wasted at-bats. You know, three quarters of the time. I can't have that.
He only hit his sixth home run last night.
I know. He hadn't done anything this year. And I don't want to take anything. Everything into the first 3 months of this season, but he hadn't done anything.
No, hasn't done anything. Kelvin Gutierrez, where are you on him?
He's fine. Handy utility player.
Right. Which is the same you could be saying for Nicky Lopez, right?
Handy See, utility Nicky Lopez player. To me does have some... Until Bobby Witt comes up, I don't mind having Nicky Lopez on the roster just kind of all the time. Remember, you know, Alcides Escobar never hit a ton, but played nope. fantastic defense. And not that I'm not saying Nicky Lopez could have the impact on the roster that Alcides Escobar had. What I'm saying is his fantastic defense and versatility and his ability to come in and do what you need him to do out of the nine hole if they're, you know, if and when some of the other guys are hurt, like Mondesi, who I'm sure is on your list here, then
yes.
Yeah, I think he has really nice value for the franchise moving forward.
Alberto Mondesi, where are we with him right now?
I mean, I think you don't have a choice. I think you just cross your fingers, hope he stays healthy. He's too talented to not just
That's
do
the
what
thing
you need
that just
to do.
Drives you crazy. He is so talented. And when you get glimpses of it, like the way he finished last season, I mean, he's everything that you could ever want. The problem is he hasn't given it consistently, and he hasn't been as available as you would like. But the problem is he's got tools, and he's young. And it's not a problem. That's the upside. But being able to use it, utilize it, that's the problem. So what we're looking at, basically, because I'm going to go ahead and answer the question for you on Michael Taylor. I don't think, I would prefer to have more than what Michael Taylor provides as a center fielder. That's my own personal feeling. Don't know how you feel. I don't think he is a piece. Nicky Lopez is a piece. Kelvin Gutierrez is a piece, but probably not frontline guys. Bobby Witt Jr. comes up, makes a move. But it means that probably Dayton Moore has a couple of more pieces still to get with this lineup.
Where do you see Hunter Dozier?
Well, that's a good question. Because this is another guy I want to like. I really do. But you can't... And they've made a position for him in right field. They obviously like him, but they couldn't fit him at third. So now they've got him in right field. So they like his bat, obviously, but he's hitting .158.
Yeah, now, I like his bat too. And I think he hit the ball hard for a long time at the beginning of the season and had some bad luck.
Yes,
if you
did.
Needed him in a pinch to play third, you still could get that out of him. I think Dozier's, for what he will end up costing and everything else, and I kind of like Dozier. I'm okay having Dozier in the mix. moving forward, because I do think the upside, I suppose I believe in his upside more than I believe in Soler's upside.
Well, here's the challenge, though. The challenge is going back to 2019 when he hit 26 bombs and hit 279. But that's been his high point.
Right.
That's his high point. And it's easy to remember that season and say, okay, we've got something in this guy. 29 years old. He's not really young. He's young as a major leaguer, but in seasons around that, he hit 229 with 362 ABs in 2018. Then he had that jump where he hit 50 points better, and it's still his best season with 26 homers and 85 driven in and 279 average. Hit 228 in the shortened season last year, which I don't put a tremendous amount of stock in, except that he's followed it with 158. So he's hitting about a shade under 200 over his last 99 games, over his last 316 plate appearances.
Well, and the other you hope problem that develops is as soon as Bobby Witt Jr. comes up, Soler and Dozier don't both really have a place, because eventually, if Witt goes to second and Mondesi goes to short, Merrifield's got to go to right, because Benintendi's in left. I don't think you'd have any of those guys out. I mean, you could move guys around and let them play center field, but I think they would like to have a more traditional center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't really have a spot for both of those guys. So it sort of becomes Soler or Dozier. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep. Well, that's a pick your poison right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and so if you're taking one of those two, I'll take Dozier because he provides me more defensively. But yeah, they're both very similar. Soler had mm-hmm. that year. Dozier had that year. What do you do? And keeping both. I mean, I guess you have both, and you just one has to ride the bit. I don't know. It's fine. It's not a problem right now. Once they call up Bobby Witt Jr. and if Mondesi gets back and we ever see that infield the way we all would like to see that infield, I suppose you could slide Dozier back over to third. I don't know.
You could. You've got some options because you've got versatility. Let's see what Ryan has for us. 869-1240. Ryan, you're on. Talking Kansas City Royals. How are you, man?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. A lot to unpack. Soler, you know, it's just too expensive when it's time for us to go to the playoffs. Nicky, yeah. What's so valuable with Nicky is just as much as a contract as anything else. And with Dozier, do you do something like we did with Moustakas in 14 and just put him in AAA? You know, how's that react? But what started this conversation was the timeline, you know what I mean, to playoffs. And I think that was put into play in 2018 with the draft when we took five pitchers out of the first 58 picks. And so I think that set us on pace to 2022. And so when we have this conversation, you know, who's with us in 2022? You know, that's what we're
good call, find. Ryan. That's a good question. And yep, thanks, dude. And I agree with you. I think next season is when the window really opens for the Royals. And I think it's a fair question on Hunter Dozier.
Well, he's 29 now. So
it's,
you know, the AAA thing, I mean, I suppose it's an option, but you're sort of past that point of 2014 Mike Moustakas. I don't remember how old he was in 2014, but I'd have to look at that to really look at that and see if that's a viable comparison. Maybe it is. But, yeah, except that the only thing is I think the window's cracked open now, and I do think it'll be very interesting to see. Next year, it's not just a beginning of it. Next year, the Royals will be expected to contend next year, not just they're good again.
Do you think the Royals will be active at the trade deadline?
I think that they'll be both. I think if there's an older guy that they don't see, they could move them, and I think if there's a piece out there they think they could go get aggressive too.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right. Well, that's what happens when you're kind of buzzing around 500, 61 games into the season.
And Moustakas right, would have been like 24-ish, I think, in 2014. So I think we've probably passed that point with Dozier, I think.
Yeah, I think so. They also did that with Alex Gordon, but that was when they were changing him from a third baseman to a left fielder. Anyway, it's been done before, but like you said, Dozier's a little further along in his career. All right, let's see here. Top of the hour, we're going to get into the CFP. We've got the 12-team format, which would follow the format that they're going to start debating this year. What would it have looked like for last season? And just how competitive has the CFP really been? And I, again, will ask the question, is bigger always better? We'll continue in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.